Our theme this month is embodiment. And this morning I want to talk to you about how we might better embody justice. You might think that I'm going to talk to you about how we might better show up at protests and rallies and carry some of these kinds of signs. Or what strategies are best to engage with your elected officials, or how to canvass your neighborhood to best get support. You might think I'm going to talk to you about how you might better support St. Lucie's and what supplies they need, or what kind of actual hands-on work the Eastern farm workers need. Those things are important. And by the way, Eastern farm workers can always use volunteers, and St. Lucie's is always in need of shelf-stable food and personal care products. Don't be shy. Our anthem, So Go I, has that image of an individual moving out to do something. There is inherent embodiment in that. Major world religions call us to do that. The Christian scriptures, in there is an imperative to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, care for the sick, and visit the imprisoned. Jewish scriptures in Deuteronomy say, if there is among you a needy person, one of your brethren within your gates, you shall not harden your hearts nor shut your hand from your needy brother. One of the five pillars of the Islamic faith is charity. For Buddhism, it is not so much that poverty is the cause of suffering, but rather that the human tendency to over-attach to material things and to consume is the source of suffering. Spirituality is deepened not by becoming poor, but by letting go of our need to consume all the time. And if we were, in fact, to do that, then that does that not free up resources to create more justice in this world? The more traditionalists in the religious field believe that they have the market cornered on piety and self-sacrificial giving. I have talked to folks who would say to me, but if you don't believe in God, then how do you know what good to do? We UUs and humanists know differently. Humanists often will hold to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights as a guiding document on how one is to be in this world. And it contains three articles among many, and they are: everyone has the right to a standard of living adequate for the health and well-being of themselves and their family, including food, clothing, housing, and medical care. Everyone has the right to education. Everyone is entitled to a social and international order in which the rights and freedoms set forth in this declaration can be fully realized. Those are not the values of some directionless group of people. Those are hard, hard values to live out. All the major religions, in many and deep ways, engage with injustice to find ways to create the beloved community here and now. Clearly, since the beginning of time, folks have seen that there is a deep divide among humans. The Upanishads, composed before 500 BC, present some of the earliest discussion of dana. In that text, one of the verses states that there are three characteristics of good. Developed persons are self-restrained, dhamma. They have compassion or love for all sentient life, dāya, and charity, dāna. So, 500 BC, that was a fairly long time ago. So the actual embodiment of justice work is important. In fact, I believe vital for the continuation of human beings as a species. We need to be getting out into the world, getting our hands dirty, helping others. Not just for them, but for ourselves also. To make time and opportunities to see and understand how others live and struggle is so important for our society as a whole and for ourselves as individuals. We can live in our own little bubbles. And what's interesting, we talk about this in the city of Syracuse that is so small, how small the UU bubble is. But when I go talk to UUs in Boston, they also talk about the bubble. I think that it's a human nature. We tend to create bubbles of familiarity around ourselves. It isn't a bad thing until we begin to treat those bubbles as if they are the totality of reality. And getting out into the world gets us out beyond our bubble. Carl Jung said, "A man who is unconscious of himself acts in a blind, instinctive way." Embracing your shadow side means identifying it. It is one way to get out of your bubble. Often it is easier to see the shadow when it's held up to the light. Perhaps to see the shadow, you need to start by identifying the best parts of yourself, what you believe to be objectively good qualities. But this begs the question, of course, what is good? You might say that to be good is to have good morals, but morality can be subjective. Your ideas of what is morally good can depend on your upbringing, your religious beliefs, your education, and many other factors that are far from the norms set in other families or other cultures. This creates internal and external conflict. You don't always know exactly what you should be doing, and you certainly don't always know what motivates others to behave the way they do. Many people think that being selfless is good. Giving away your possessions, devoting your time to the care of children and the elderly, and giving your time with charities are all selfless acts that are largely considered good. Yet there is such a thing as too much of a good thing. People who are too selfless risk burning themselves out and letting their shadow get the best of them. Basing an identity around being good to others but not to yourself simply turns the darkness inwards, the shadow inwards. And it takes more than just positive thinking. Acceptance and love for yourself come not from thoughts, but also from acts. It is much harder to take care of others when you haven't taken care of yourself. As many of you know, I sit on the committee that authorizes ministries in the UUA, and I would say that this form of question gets asked to each candidate who comes before us. How is it you take care of yourself? Because we know that when you don't take care of yourself, you burn out as a minister, and when you burn out as a minister, not only do you suffer, but your congregation suffers with you. It's that old adage, whenever you get on a plane, you're told that in the event of an emergency, you must put on your own oxygen mask before helping your neighbor. The same logic applies to the everyday. You'll be much better equipped to focus on the needs of others when your own needs are taken care of. One of the best ways of doing this is self-honesty, particularly when it comes to aspects of ourselves that we don't like much. Instead of continuously trying to uphold our own sense of moral goodness, we're better off acknowledging that sometimes we are far from good. At the very least, we should acknowledge that our morals may be flawed or foreign to others. What is morally acceptable to one person may not be so to another person. Acknowledging your shadow side helps you see both the light and the shadow in others. Once you've accepted your own shadow, you'll be able to better notice and accept it in other people. To accept that others are not always purely good, but negative acts do not always come from malice. Sometimes mistakes are made, and sometimes the shadow gets the better of us. It's part of being human, and it happens to everyone. Last Sunday, this congregation voted to put up a Black Lives Matter banner or sign outside of our building. The final details of what that will look like and where it will be are yet to be decided. But I have to say, I am so proud of this congregation. I was not here for the vote because I was in Boston with our youth, but I have talked to folks who were here. It seems like the conversation around this was respectful and thoughtful. And I am really happy to say that the vote was not unanimous. I take that to mean that folks were feeling safe enough to use a dissenting voice. And that is a good thing. I also know that displaying a Black Lives Matter sign is simply one step among many. It's not the first step, and it's not the last step. We have work to do to better understand racism and our part in it. We don't get to declare ourselves with a Black Lives Matter sign and then say, well, that's done. If we are to embody justice around the issue of racism and white supremacy, then we must include in our work the internal work that is so important. And that internal work is looking at that shadow side of ourselves as individuals in a community that may be uncomfortable to look at. A reading on white supremacy culture from the Reverend Karen Quinlan, who I would like to say I interviewed at the MFC, and she was excellent. She is a white minister in Wisconsin. The Quaker activist and songwriter Carrie Newcomer sings these words of encouragement. Come on and look inside you. It's the best place to start. The greatest revolution is a simple change of heart. We think we have to change all those things that are happening out there, and that change can happen as a direct result of our actions. And sometimes this is true, especially in the area of social change, where we need to very intentionally build momentum and create more just conditions. But more often, I'm learning, true change happens only when we take the time and the risk of sitting with something hard. True change in the world is intimately related to our internal transformation, which is intimately related to our presence to ourselves. Culture is simply everything that's around us. At some point in our lives, we learn that there are other ways of being. Our human tendency is to think that ours is better than theirs. When we are white, thinking that ours is better is supported by the fact that our social and political systems have been built through the same frame through which we are looking. We learn that our way is the right way and the best way. Simply put, this is white supremacy culture. This internal work around racism is the work that needs to be done before we actually get out there and roll up our sleeves and do some kind of work. Or at least it needs to be done in conjunction with. And it needs to be done in that way so that the work we do is not reactive or knee-jerk or ill-intentioned. When you hear someone talking about white supremacy or racism, and you find yourself saying to yourself that little voice that we all have inside our head, or at least I have it inside my head, I'm really hoping you do too, because otherwise... When that little voice says, yeah, but I'm not a racist, or I'm not a sexist, or I don't have homophobia or transphobia, I'm not a xenophobic, I invite you to take a step back from that. Take a moment to consider that we all have a shadow side, and what that shadow side in you might look like. I invite you to step back and ask the question, what if? What if maybe I was a little racist, or a little sexist, or a little homophobic? What if? Do the work of healing yourself first. Make sure you have your oxygen mask on before you go out and try and force that oxygen mask on someone else. The anthem talked about or sung about, and here I would like to say thank you, choir. You guys have been doing an incredible amount of work, and I asked you to do one more anthem. Thank you. The anthem, So Go I. One reading is that, So Go I, to reach out and help folks who are wretched and wounded and shackled. That reading is valid. Those are good things to do. And maybe another understanding is also valid. Maybe I am, maybe we are wretched and wounded and shackled. Maybe we are not the angels, but the ones who need the angels. Maybe both of these things are true at once. In a world without end, I know this to be true. I don't know if you've ever had one of those nagging feelings in the back of your head, like you forgot to do something. And about 10 minutes ago or 20 minutes ago, I realized what it was I forgot to do. So the next hymn we have, number 1024, When the Spirit Says Do, I was supposed to supply words, Sarah Jo. So Sarah Jo is going to supply the words this morning.
You just supplied the words.
Thank you.
You've got to do, you've got to change, you've got to heal, you've got to love.
Please stand as you are moved or able and join in hymn number 1024, When the Spirit Says Do. Please be seated. Hear these closing words. Blessed is the path on which you travel. Blessed is the body that carries you upon it. Blessed is your heart that has heard the call. Blessed is your mind that